C1B 1 and 2.
Number 13B.
I want to take up another point of interpretation and then slowly leave it aside again. If you consider on page 307, where we have been reading, that one of the marginal headings there in the middle says, bad results from error. So the marginal heading, if we only would look at the marginal heading, we would feel, well, she speaks here about error. That's the running theme. Because one always asks oneself, shouldn't the marginal headings give us a clue or a key to what she is saying in the text, or to give a lead of the subject she's talking about in a text? Now, as we have been reading this paragraph, that's one reason I did it also, shows that when we read this paragraph here, it is in the tone of mind as soul, yes, but we also saw that intertwined into it was that other tone of truth, life and spirit. So you can see, especially in here, the tone of truth answering the claims of error, that naturally such a paragraph can therefore have a tone of mind, of a soul here, huh? And of truth, and so sometimes she chooses the one or the other. Here she has chosen that second melody about truth, which rejects error and the result of error. And so what I want to bring out, we have to be very careful not to let us misled by the marginal headings as to the main subject that is running through the text. If you are then at home and consider all that text interpretation, you naturally then will only find out how these ideas are intertwined very often. But I want to say that quite often the student thinks he can see the story, the spiritual story that runs through a chapter by considering the marginal headings. He can't. They are not giving us what I would give, say, the epitomes. Epitomes that would run over a page, 2, 3, 10 pages. But within that epitome, say, here of mind, we naturally know, because the text is written synchronically, all sorts of other tones can come in and underline the tone. And therefore, Mrs. Eddy would have chosen sometimes tones that are not in the main melody, but are a supporting tone. So here, because she says bad results from error, we can't say this must have the tone of truth in it. I mean, as a leading subject. It has it only in it as a supporting idea. Is that clear too? Because these marginal headings have been foxing us over many, many years, you see, until we could see the structure of the textbook and all its ramifications, these marginal headings just didn't seem to make sense. They always seemed to be out of gear, out of harmony. But now, naturally, one can see that Mrs. Eddy has the perfect right to take an underlying or tone and say and stress it in a paragraph. All right, that's what I wanted to show here. And now we follow the text. We come to the main tone of spirit, and here I have written, the belief that man consists of material error yields to the fact that man is purely spiritual. This is now the second step. You see, the first step had to clarify what is man's origin. Is matter the origin? Is disbelief or ignorance, a delusion, the origin of man? Or is divine mind the origin of man? Once that has been stated, the question comes up now, is that creation of divine mind matter or is it spirit? what constitutes a real man? And the answer naturally must be that man constitutes of spiritual qualities and not of material error. And so we have here that description. It is an interesting way how she deals now with the biblical story of Jacob and his struggle with the angel, bringing out with that biblical symbolism after the Adam story, bringing out the using of spiritual qualities in order to bring out the spiritual nature of man and not the material nature of man. Our first epitome here really is mortals must decide. What does decide? Spirit distinguishes. Spirit is the firmament that decides between the belief of what? Of mind in matter and the living faith that God is the only mind. Now you have that blending of spirit as mind twice, once in a negative sense, namely is mind in matter, and a positive sense is God the only spirit. Mind. This is the first great question, and Mrs. Eddy says, mortals have to decide on which side they want to throw out their nets, to which side they want to turn. It's now that marginal heading, the great question, which actually in the text she calls the great decision, spirit. And so she tells us that the voice of truth, you see, that truth still is there, that instrument that plays truth, life and spirit, the voice of truth still calls. What does it call out? Namely, Adam, where art thou? Adam, where art thou? Are you still in the belief that mind is in matter, that evil is mind? Art thou still looking for happiness and life in the body? You see, she recapitulates those three tones that have been given before, in mind as mind, mind as spirit, mind as soul, and says, are you still there? Have you chosen the first subject in a negative way, the Adam dream? And Adam admits, she says, that he said, I find only an illusion. So the voice of truth again calls and says, there is only one God. God is the only mind. So we have that statement of the opposites. Here are laid out between what we can choose. The decision has not been made yet, but the proposition has been put before consciousness and says, now choose ye. Then she goes to spirit as spirit, where she brings in what the marginal heading says, wrestling of Jacob. The moment we hear wrestling, we hear the tone of spirit, namely spirit that always leads the warfare, spirit that makes the decision, that has to fight the decision through, has to stick to his decision, and so that great warfare starts. Once I have seen, I can go to the right or to the left. Then the warfare starts for one's decision, and this is symbolized by Jacob's struggle. She speaks here about Jacob wrestling with error, struggling, can you hear, wrestling, spirit, struggling with the mortal sense of life and substance, intelligence as existing in matter, you always have that tone coming in, until an angel smote the strength of his error, the strength of spirit, and truth gave him spiritual strength. We hear, can you hear the tonality? Wrestling, struggling, having strength. Do I have enough strength in that warfare? Will I have enough strength to oppose the enemy? And then, because he was wrestling and was wrestling with the strength of truth, his nature was transformed. That proposition which was brought before, namely, is our nature material or is man's nature spiritual, Now the transformation takes place, and his name was changed to Israel. For as a prince he had prevailed. He had power with God and with men. Can you hear? Here comes in now that his strength was winning the battle, and he received the spiritual sense of being, and his material sense was rebuked. Well, when you read this, you have a feeling that that has already a lot to do with soul, because we know that soul changes. And here Jacob was renamed, and he had a new name. His name was changed, would be soul actually. And it changed his material sense, was rebuked, soul rebukes, material sense. So in a way you already get quite a bit of soul into it. Now, one has to be careful in reading a text that one doesn't expect always that you can finish up a paragraph with one idea and then make a clean cut and start out the next paragraph with something new. Only too often you find in the text, this is another hint for text interpretation, very often you find, say, that the end of a paragraph is already reaching over to the next idea and brings in already qualities and ideas of the next paragraph, or also the other way around, that very often a paragraph starts with the preceding idea and resumes it and summarizes it, and only perhaps after one, two sentences goes on with the new idea. So it isn't so clear-cut as a machine where just one part is one part that never blends with another part. It is a flow in it. But the point in it is this, you see, that actually she depicts Jacob's struggle not so much with the accent on the fact that he was changed and had a new name, that instead of being called Jacob he was now called Israel, which would really be his new name, his new identity, would have a sense of soul naturally in it. The point about it is not that he was changed so much, but that he was struggling for it. Spirit that precedes that change. And therefore the accent is very much on that wrestling of struggling with error, because his name was what? His name was, or I would say, what nature did his new name represent? Namely, spirit. His new name was a struggler, a warrior, a prince of God, a soldier of God who fought the good fight. Can you hear? His name was that he was a warrior, that he ended the good fight, which is spirit. So only when we come to the next paragraph, to spirit as soul, in which Mrs. Eddy goes on talking about Jacob and Jacob's struggles, and the side note then is Israel, the new name. You see, now the accent is that through that struggle we are renamed. Now you get spirit as soul, the renaming. So that she starts out, the result of Jacob's struggle thus appeared. See, the appearing, the dry land appeared. His true name, his true nature, his true identity appeared. And so gives a terrific sense that through the struggle of spirit, man is changed and receives a new name, a new identity. I hope that when you go home you have a new name, that you have been challenged quite a bit for 2 weeks, challenged quite a bit to change your paradigm, to let the old paradigm go and to take on the new paradigm, yes? And it wasn't always easy. First, at the beginning, one not even quite knew what's going on here, what is not quite knowing why should I change the old paradigm that was good enough up to now, and then the wrestling that sets in, but how is that new paradigm? What does it imply? What are its implications? What are its demands? What is the other standpoint? Until finally, I think most of you have somehow sensed a new paradigm, which means you have been changed. And you go home with a new name. And Mrs. Eddy says what our new name is. Says it is Christian Scientists. I guess now you go home and feel that you can now think according to science, that you are a scientist. So in this way, we see how the new identity is given us. He is now called Israel, no more Jacob. And then his new name was a Prince of God because of his wrestling. And so he proved what he says, the power of spirit, yes, over material sense. Spirit, soul. He proved that. So she says, in Christian Science, we will also be renamed. And we are led to deny material sense. We can say we are led to give up the old paradigm and take on the new paradigm of being a scientist in the proper sense of the word. Yeah. Good. So this would be the second great period in the development of man's consciousness, first in mind, that he comes out of the Adam dream and is aware that he must come out of the Adam dream, that really mind is the soul of man. Then came that second period where we have to make a decision. Where she says, now the question is, are you going to make a decision? And if you make the decision, are you going to struggle for it, for the new way? And if you are struggling for it and wrestling with error, then the strength of spirit will give you strength and give you a new name. When I was saying that, can you feel how very different that second part is from the first part? In the first part, she would never have brought up a subject which would say, you have to make a decision, you have to struggle. Because the first part just shows you the system of ideas, having a savior, a Christ, resolving really illusions. Here in the second part, she appeals to mortals, to us, to the student, and says, you know, truth still calls you and says to you, where are you? Are you still dreaming? Are you still believing in the Adam dream? And in soul and spirit it comes and says, truth still comes. That voice of truth still calls you and says, are you going to make a decision? And if you make a decision, are you going to wrestle? And only if you are going to wrestle with it, you get a new name. Yeah? Is that clear? That in that second part, she speaks to, so to say, to the Adam race, and therefore makes that whole first part practical. And puts and translates it right down on our human plane of living and says, you can't just stay in the first part or you stay on cloud nine. You have to see that you are living up to that first part, and you can only live up to that first part by going through the second part. All right. Then we come to soul. And this part of soul is very clean, giving us a sense, really, as I have epitomized it, that the belief that man is a corporeal mortal with a body yields to the fact that the identity of man is actually incorporeal and immortal. You hear the tone of soul? Soul is symbolized by incorporeality. Soul is immortal. The counterfeit of it is corporeality. And that man, through soul, has an identity. Now, here I must make a little remark for the sake of honesty of text interpretation. I said to you that the second part actually leads us through the thousand-year periods from Adam up to now and gives you a historical record. And she, as you have seen that, she does that in mind through the Adam story in the Bible, that is at the beginning of the Bible. Then she picks out the Jacob's struggle as a struggle for spirit. But in soul, she doesn't do that. So what I said is only 6/7 true. I don't know why, if she didn't find a good example in the Bible or what it is, I don't know. But this third subject is not symbolized through a biblical symbol. But when she goes to principle, again it's the Bible, in life it's the Bible, in truth it's Christian Science, and in love it's Divine Science. So only one part out of it apparently doesn't follow that trend. I don't know why, so I leave it open. But I think that, well, I should tell you honestly that I'm aware of it, and I can't be blamed that I don't know everything. But the text itself is wonderful because it shows how out of that Jacob struggle really comes our true identity. That really mind is the soul of all, and therefore that in soulless mind, that soul expresses itself through the intelligence of its own infinite mind, not through a finite body. So we get to soulless mind and see that really mind is the soul of all. And she presents it like this, that she says, look here, it's a beautiful reasoning in it, which says, look here, infinite soul is incorporeal. It's not in the body. So begin to see that man is not living in a body, but that he lives in soul that is infinite. Because she says it's impossible for soul to be in a finite body. Therefore, man can have no separate, no intelligence apart from his maker. Therefore, soul is the intelligence, the mind of man. The intelligence of man is not in the body, but outside the body, namely in soul. So she comes and says, therefore, you know, man's thought are therefore not material. There's no material accompaniments. Is that the right expression? Accompaniments? Exactly. You said it right. That therefore thought has spiritual substance. See, she begins to show that man's identity as mind has no material thinking, no material intelligence, but that his intelligence is in mind. And therefore, under that marginal heading of the central intelligence, mind, she says that God is his own infinite mind. God is his own infinite mind. I think it's the only time in the whole textbook that she defines God through his synonyms. Not as a synonym, that she does very often, says God is mind. But here she defines God through his own synonym and says God is his own infinite mind. And this is a very high level, where we begin to see that God, mind, is only aware of itself as mind. And that's the only intelligence of man. So therefore, she says in Science, soul, God, is untouched by sin and death, and therefore untouched by ignorance. And therefore, soul is the central life and intelligence around which circle harmoniously all things in the systems of mind. One can hardly think out what that means. That what appeared at that point with soulless mind, that one suddenly began to realize that the identity of mind is outside the body in soul, and that soul is the only mind of man, the only intelligence of man, and therefore it's the central intelligence around which circle all things in the systems of mind. Mind's many systems. What that means, I cannot tell you at this point. That would lead for a whole week into another subject.